Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Zechariah chapter number 10. The book of Zechariah and chapter number 10. We are more than halfway done with this series of the period of the restoration. We're now on our downhill slide. In fact, we'll be finishing up the book of Zechariah pretty soon. Remember, in this series of the period of the restoration, we're going through Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi in chronological order, the order that they occurred in history. And the context of what is occurring is that the people have returned back from Jerusalem, from Babylonian captivity, and they had started to rebuild the temple of God. Now, after 15 years, through the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah, they have resumed building, and Zechariah is being used as a preacher to go alongside with them and still deliver messages to encourage them to continue to build, to encourage them to keep going forward, to encourage them to keep looking unto the Lord during this time. And as we come to the book of Zechariah chapter 10, we can see as Zechariah is resuming this message to the people at Jerusalem to encourage them as they're still finishing rebuilding, we come to a specific encouraging couple chapters of Zechariah chapter 10 and Zechariah chapter 11. If you don't mind, look with me in the book of Zechariah chapter 10 and notice what it says starting at verse number 1. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Word of God says this: "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter time of the latter rain, so that the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. My anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock at the house of Judah, and hath made them as a goodly horse in battle. Out of him come forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as a mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. They of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it, and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them, and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them to the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the rivers shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." And as we come to here, we see the idea of Zechariah chapter number 10 as implied in through this passage, and that we see the Good Shepherd. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message from Zechariah chapter 10 about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I'm glad that we could always look up towards the great shepherd, and that you could always guide us, that we could look up to the great shepherd and ask, and that you will always hear us in prayer. I thank you that we could look up to the good shepherd and that you would give us our needs, that you could even give us our wants, that you are the good shepherd. And I thank you for all that you do. As we approach this passage here, help the people be encouraged through your message that you gave through Zechariah, to encourage the people to keep moving forward, to keep looking up because of the great shepherd that we have. Lord, again, I dare not preach my own, so the best I know how, I surrender myself to you. And I ask that once again you fill me with your precious spirit, and that you would say those things that you want to be said, and that you would keep me out of the way, and that you would show yourself faithful to your folks once again. And we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, Zechariah is preaching to the people to try to encourage them to keep being consistent, to keep building, to keep moving forward. And he comes to the idea of the great shepherd. And if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you some things about the good shepherd. The first thing is that the good shepherd provides for the sheep. The good shepherd provides for the sheep. You know, it's always amazing as you look through the Word of God that one of the greatest illustrations God loves to use to compare his relationship with his people is always the shepherd and the sheep. That's always been his relationship with them. He's referred to this over and over and over throughout the Bible. Even Jesus himself spoke about that he is the good shepherd. And so the Bible uses this over and over and over, this relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. One of the things that the Bible talks about sheep, and that we know from sheep ourselves, if you've ever been around sheep, is that sheep are dumb. They are stupid creatures. They are helpless creatures. They are in constant need. That when you deal with shepherds or and sheep, when you deal with the idea of sheep, is that they just kind of follow the crowd, you know, and they kind of follow. They don't know where they're going. They follow the leader. And so if one of them goes off, the rest of them follow them, even if they're headed to danger, and they keep going. Sheep sometimes do the same thing over and over. In the Judea area, it is a very hilly area. We'll talk more about this tonight. But sometimes the sheep, what they'll do is as they're walking close to the cliff, they'll fall down off of a ledge and they'll go down to another ledge. Bah, bah, and they can't get back up. So a shepherd would take his shepherd's crook. It'd be a big staff with a hook around it. And the shepherd would have to pick him back up. Well, you know what that sheep will do? It'll go do it again. It'll go pick it up and picks it back up. And then you know what that sheep will do? It'll do it again. Well, after a while, what the shepherd has to do is that he has to break the sheep's legs. You say, well, that's so horrible. No, he's doing it for the protection of the sheep. But you know what the shepherd will do is that he'll actually carry that sheep around his neck until that leg is healed, until it's set, because he's trying to care for the sheep. He had to teach the sheep, you can't do that again, and he protects them. But if he didn't, that sheep will do it over and over. You know, after a while, hey, I fell off this cliff. You think I should stay away from it? Nope. What's down there? I want to see. You know, that's what sheep do. You know, sheep are so helpless that if a sheep falls on its back, it can't get back up. It lays on its back and goes, blah, blah, blah. And it is one of the most helpless creatures in all of God's creation. It needs that constant care and that constant shepherding. As we recognize ourselves, no wonder God uses the idea of a shepherd and his sheep. As we look at ourselves, how many times have we done the same thing over and over and over until God intervenes and says, stop? How many times has God lovingly carried us around his shoulders to let us to heal? How many times has God, when we fell on our back and we can't do anything about it, and God has turned us over, set us upright, and take care of us? How many times has our shepherd take us and led us to green pastures because we didn't know where to find it and he brought us there? That's the idea of the shepherd and the sheep. And there's so many illustrations that the Bible uses for the shepherd and the sheep. But as we come to Zechariah, we see that the good shepherd provides for the sheep. Notice with me in verse number 1, Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, to everyone grass in the field. Now notice, in verse number 1, here is a message that to the people. It says, ask. Ask the Lord. Talk to Him. You know what they needed? Remember, this is an agricultural society that is based off of grass. Even with shepherds dealing with the sheep, you know what you need? You need grass to feed the sheep. And so the people were supposed to go and ask the Lord for rain. That was something that was necessary. That was something that the people could not control themselves, right? As much as people would like to, you can't make it rain. You can't send up chemicals in the air through water balloons or whatever else and make it rain. It just doesn't work that way. We can't do anything about it. That is something we have to be dependent upon the Lord to make it rain. That is something beyond our thing. But we can go to a great shepherd. And you know what the Bible says in verse 1? Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds. Big fluffy clouds. Big fluffy rain clouds. And give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Here we know that the good shepherd, he answers prayer. We just have to ask. He reminded them that the reason that he has made himself available, all we have to do is ask, and we have a God who hears and answers prayer. That's part of being the good shepherd. That the good shepherd wants to give good gifts to his children. The good shepherd wants to take care of his sheep. The good shepherd doesn't want to be neglected. But here, as it's, we're going to be good sheep, we have to be looking to our shepherd. Shepherd, I need this. Shepherd, I need you to provide this. Shepherd, I'm dependent upon you. Then in verse 2, what it does is a contrast. So verse 1, it says you need to ask. Verse 2, it says, this is where you messed up before. Notice verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity. That word vanity means empty. You know what happened beforehand for the children of Israel? Is they kept asking the wrong people. Instead of going to God, they would go to Baal. Instead of going to God, they would go to a statue. Instead of going to God, they would do this. Instead of going to God, they would do this. That they were so busy trying to get everything else to answer their prayer, they didn't go to the one who would answer their prayer. So the idols have spoken vanity. The diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock, and were troubled because there was no shepherd. What happened before is that the children of Israel acted like there was no shepherd. They did whatever they wanted. They went, when they had a problem, they would go to the rain god. When they needed fertility, they would go to the fertility goddess. When they needed this, they would go to this. They would go to these other sources other than God. Do you know, we even do that to ourselves. How many times do we try to answer our own prayers instead of depend upon the Lord? That God is our answer. We could go to Him for everything. He is our good shepherd. We go to Him. We go to Him. We go to Him. We go to Him. But if we depend on anything else other than Him, we've gone to the wrong source and we're going to be in trouble. You know, if you go to a false idol, you imagine a sheep, all right? Imagine, just play with me now, a sheep going up to a scarecrow. Blah. Which way to go? And the scarecrow's pointing this way, and the sheep goes, all right, let's go this way. Well, you know, they asked the wrong person. I know that's facetious, but I'm trying to get an image in your mind. You know, asking the wrong thing and getting the wrong direction. And what happens? The sheep go to the wrong place. They go to the place where there's not good food. They go to the place where they run out of food. They go to the they did not go to the right source. And this is what happened before. This is where the people got in trouble, is they did not go to the shepherd who cared for them. And instead, they were scattered because there was no shepherd that God had given them before. He had spoke about in Zechariah and other passages. He had given them preachers. He had given them prophets. He had given them people to guide. And what happened is they rejected those shepherds and they rejected following after the Lord. That they didn't follow. God tried to guide them. God tried to go. And they went their own way, asking the wrong sources, going to the wrong places, asking prayer from the wrong things. And then they were led astray. And God is saying, this was the problem. This was the whole problem. You went to the wrong source. You didn't come to me. But the good shepherd, he provides for his sheep. He's available We just need to go to him. We need to look up to him. The second thing that we see here is that the good shepherd gives victory to the sheep. The good shepherd gives victory to the sheep. Notice with me in verse number 3. Zechariah 10:3, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punish the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as a goodly horse in the battle. Now, what's happened is that God says, hey, those bad shepherds who were leading you astray, those bad shepherds who were giving you wrong information, he says, that's part of the reason why judgment came, is because I was angry with them that they would lead the people wrong. You could read in Jeremiah where it says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. What happened is that they said, the Bible says twice in Jeremiah, that they helped the hurt of the daughter of Israel slightly. What they did is they kind of said, there, it's all right. But it wasn't all right. It's all right. God understands. No, he didn't. What he did is he pacified them, those other shepherds. Well, you're not really sinning. You're fine. You're still a good person. You're a-okay. And what happened is that the shepherds, those false shepherds, led the sheep astray. They never turned to God. They never looked up to God. They never depended on him. They said, well, I must be fine. The shepherd said that I'm not sinning. I can go do whatever I want. And God's happy with me. And God was not. And so God says, I'm angry, was kindled against the shepherds, and I punish the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock and the house of Judah. Now notice this, and hath made them as a goodly horse in battle. Now God says, you know what I'm going to do is I've turned this around, and now I'm going to make the Jewish people just like a strong battle horse. Not like a weak, sickly horse, but a strong battle horse. A horse that's going to be in the thick of the battle. A horse that's going to be able to stand and help give victory. This is what I'm trying to make my people to. I'm trying to make them someone that's going to get victory because they're depending on the shepherd. I'm going to make them. I am going to do that. I am going to do that. So the Lord said, he hath made them as a goodly horse. It is God that's going to make them into a battle horse. And he's talking about the Jewish people. Verse number 4. Notice as it uses this phrase, out of him, in this. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him, the nail. Out of him, the battle bow. Out of him, every oppressor together. Notice this phrase, out of him, 4 times in this one verse. It uses this idea of out of him. Now, who's this him? Well, this him is Christ. It refers to this great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it says 4 times, out of him. Notice this. Now, he's already talked about in verse 3 that God is going to make them a battle horse. It has the idea that he is going to make them victorious. Now, with that idea, now, out of him, this is where they're going to get their sources. First of all, out of him come forth a corner. This has the idea of a cornerstone. A cornerstone is a powerful title used for Christ. He is the stone that the builders rejected. That a cornerstone would be used to make sure that the whole house is going to be exactly the way it's supposed to be. Can you imagine a house that was angled wrong? So you had one corner that had an acute angle and the other one an obtuse angle, and the house was not square, but instead it was a lopsided. That'd be a horrible place to live, to kind of be in a house that you're kind of walking sideways because the whole house is slanted. I mean, that would be off. That would be disconcerting. But Jesus is the cornerstone, that when he is in his rightful place, everything else is in his rightful place. That's the idea of him, the cornerstone. It is the most important stone of a building, that corner, the cornerstone, that when Christ is in his rightful place, everything else will be in its rightful place. That's what it refers to. And we could go more about that, but let's talk about these other ones. So first of all, he is the chief corner. He is the corner that the builders are rejected, but he was the most important piece. Notice them. Out of him came forth a corner. Out of him, the nail. Now here's another title here talking about him. The nail. The nail refers to a tent peg that was in tents where the families would hang their special essential items. Now remember, most of the people were being nomadic people and they had tents and they would travel around. And so when you would travel, you didn't have nice dressers. You know, that would be kind of awkward to travel. You just took what you could. And so when you would set up your nomadic tent, you would have special nails that would actually hang in the tent. And this is where the only thing that you would hang there is things that are special to you, things that were valuable, things that you wanted displayed. And this is what Jesus is. Out of him cometh forth the nail, that what we see on our Messiah, this is where we hang our hope and our trust. We hang those things that are important and we hang those things on Christ. If you want the victory, you put your hope on Christ. If you want the victory, you put your trust in Christ. When you want the victory, you hang everything that is important to you on that nail, which is in Christ Jesus. So here, out of him, he is the corner that when he is in his rightful place, everything else is in his rightful place. That Jesus Christ, out of him, is the nail. And that we put everything that's important to us on that nail. Everything that we believe in, everything that we need and we trust in him, we put on that nail. Notice again in verse 4. Out of him come forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. Out of him the battle bow. A battle bow was a specific bow that was used in an aggressive defense. You know what? My defense is in the Lord. And what happens is that Jesus, I'm able to depend upon him. I'm able to trust in him for this bow to get me the victory. That I can depend on him. In the midst of the battle, when I need Christ, oh, he's dependable. He'll never fail. In the midst of the battle, when I need victory, I can depend on Christ. I can trust in him. Out of him, the battle bow. Out of this battle bow, out of this victory here, I can get my victory in Jesus Christ because I run to him and I depend on him. He is the one that gets it. Notice in verse 4, out of him came forth the corner. Out of him, the nail. Out of him, the battle bow. Out of him, every oppressor together. This carries the idea that Jesus will cast out every oppressor and he'll win the victory. You know, you could depend on Christ to get victory over the enemies. You could depend on Christ to get victory over the flesh. You could depend on God to get victory when it comes to the spiritual warfare. You could depend on him and he'll win the victory. Isn't that an amazing thing? We could depend upon our shepherd. But when we depend on something else, we don't get the victory. When we depend on something else, we're led astray. When we depend on something else, that's where we get in trouble. That our eyes always have to be on that good shepherd who provides for us, who defends us, who takes care of us, who we can hang all of our hopes. That when we put him in his rightful place, everything else is in its rightful place. We can depend on him. Notice as it goes on, verse number 5. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in battle. They shall fight. Why? Because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. You know, it doesn't matter who we're fighting, that as long as the Lord is with us, we know he's going to get the victory. That's the important thing, is that we will get the victory. Now, this is also given a precursor to the future, that when the Messiah returns, guess what? There'll be no more defeats for the children of Israel. That's some comforting idea, that they'll no longer lose any battles. When Jesus Christ has come to rule and reign on this earth, there'll be no more defeats. I'm glad I could trust in a God who cannot get defeated. That we could depend on him, that we could trust in him. Now, this is encouraging those people who are building the temple, rebuilding it, because they have adversaries all around. They have people criticized. They have people who are trying to get them to stop. They got people who are writing letters to the emperor. They're trying to say, why are you doing this? And they have to look unto God in the midst of the battles. It's not easy to do the right thing. And they're looking up and they're trusting in him. And they're being reminded that you have to trust in Jesus. You have to, if you're going to get victory for this, if you're not going to be led astray, if you're going to do what God has given you to do, you have to keep looking at him. You have to keep looking at him. You have to keep looking at him. He is the great shepherd. So we talked about, first of all, how the good shepherd provides for his sheep. We said how the good shepherd gives victory to the sheep. There's one last thing I'd like to show you in the passage of Zechariah chapter 10, is that the good shepherd gathers the sheep. The good shepherd gathers the sheep. Now remember, at this time, the Jewish people are still scattered. Very few of them have returned, but there has some that have returned. But you know, God has made a promise to the Jewish people that he would gather them again. That's part of the covenants that he had made, that he would gather up all of the people. And God will keep his promise. And he is a good shepherd. You know, you think about all the Israelites over the years. God promised them that they would be more than all the sands of the sea. You know that there are more Jewish people living in New York City than the entire country of Israel today? Aren't you glad you don't have to keep track of where all the Jewish people are? But you know, God is such a good shepherd. He knows exactly where they are. He hasn't lost a single one. He knows where they are. And one day he's going to gather them all together back just like he promised. That's a good shepherd. And one day he's going to gather the sheep. Notice with me in verse number 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. Now he's saying, I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to place them where I promised, for I have mercy upon them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I, the Lord their God, will hear them. Isn't that a comforting thing? God says, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm a good God. I'm going to gather them up. I'm going to bring them back, and it's going to be like I never scattered them. It's going to be like they were there all the time, multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. I'm going to take care of it. Why? Because I hear them. I hear their prayers. I hear what they're praying. I'm going to answer the prayers. Verse number 7. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine, and their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Here it's talking about the people of Ephraim. Who's going to be the northern kingdom? You understand there's a difference between Jews and Hebrews. That remember that God split the northern kingdom of Samaria and the southern kingdom of Judah. When we talk about Jews, we specifically are referring to those from Judah and Jerusalem. But what about the northern kingdom? They are not considered Jews, but they are the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh and these other ones. You know what God is saying? Even though I promise the Jews and I also promised the Israelites, and I know where they are too, that they're scattered. Today we refer to the Jewish people that come from the tribe of Judah. But what about the other 10 tribes? Do you know that God knows where they are? Do you know that God's keeping track of them? And he's going to keep promises to them as well? And that he's going to take care of them? And that here, as the parents are rejoicing, notice their children shall see it and be glad. You know, when parents are being the example and looking up to the Lord, the children are watching us, and that they learn to trust the Lord as we learn to trust the Lord. Notice as it goes on, verse 8, I will hiss at them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of the land of Assyria, and I will bring them to the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and a place will not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and smite the waves of the sea, and the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. Now, what he's doing is he's talking in these verses about even though there's other countries that tried to oppress them, that God is still going to get the victory. Think about Egypt. In Egypt, that's where the Jewish people or the Hebrew people were put into slavery. That when they thought about Egypt, that was not a fun place. That as they nationally thought, they weren't saying, hey, we want to go to vacation in Egypt. Egypt was where they were put in bondage. It's where they were in slavery. It's where they were put down. In Assyria, Assyria was a land of captivity. Now, referring to specifically the northern kingdom, because the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. And they were destroyed and they were scattered and they were put away. But God has always known where they're at. And even though in Egypt they had slavery, inside of Assyria, that's where they were put captive, God is able to defeat Egypt. He's able to defeat Assyria. He's able to wipe it clean and bring the people home and give them victory. God is promising that I'm not just doing it for the Jewish people, but every Hebrew person I'm going to bring back. And I've made promises to, and I've got something for them. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we call the northern kingdom, the 10 lost tribes, because we can't identify them today. But God knows exactly where they're at. And he knows that he's going to fulfill his promises. Notice with me in verse number 12. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in His name, saith the Lord. And verse 12, it carries the idea that nobody will bother the Hebrew people in the Millennium Kingdom as they're delivering and doing what the Master has told them to do. So if Jesus says, hey, I want you to deliver a message across the world, yes, sir, no one's going to bother them in the Millennium Kingdom. Now think about how many times the Jewish people and the Hebrew people have been oppressed and defeated and locked away and blamed and everything else. Can you imagine what a Jewish person, even today, when they're reading this, that one day you're going to be able to do God's work and no one's going to bother you. No one's going to oppress you. No one is going to even dare stop you. Now, again, this is encouragement to these people because they have a lot of people that's trying to stop them. A lot of people that's trying to keep them from doing God's work. But God says, guess what? One day there's coming where you're going to do what I told you to do and no one is going to try to stop you. What encouragement to these people here. You know, we understand that we may not be Hebrew people, but we still have the same shepherd. And we have a shepherd who provides. We have a shepherd who will give us victory. We have a shepherd who also keeps track of us and knows where we are. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, if you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Psalm 23, which is called the Shepherd Psalm. Many of us are familiar with it, and I'd like to do something special. Psalm 23, and I'd like everyone to find it for me. Psalm 23 expresses the idea that the Lord is my shepherd. This is one of America's most beloved psalms. It's something that people go to comfort. I can't recall how many times I've said at someone's bedside as they're dying, and I would say, can I read some scripture to you? What scripture would you like read? And more often than not, Psalm 23 is one of the scriptures that they request. Preacher, can you read Psalm 23 to me? That brings so much comfort. And in Psalm 23, if you don't mind, I want everyone to find it. And I want to do something unusual that I usually do not do. Let's read Psalm 23 together. Now, this is in a race. Let's keep the same cadence. And let's read it together unto the Lord, thinking about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth o'er. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to encourage you that the Lord is your shepherd. Maybe perhaps the Lord is not your shepherd, meaning that you've never come to the place where you've asked Jesus to be your personal Savior. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you could do today is to have the Lord as your shepherd. And so if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, it'd be my privilege to show you from the Bible that heaven's your home. Maybe perhaps you are one of God's children and you've been looking for direction. Let me tell you, the answer is to look up. To go to your shepherd and let Him guide you. You need something in your life? Go to your shepherd and He'll take care of you. You have a great shepherd. And so this morning, it's not so much about this or that. The thing that I wanted to do was to encourage you that you have a great shepherd and you shall not want. Just keep looking up to Him. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.